Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Here is a special invitation to all our radio listeners, especially those who do not already have a church home. The congregation of Kansas City Christian Faith Center invites you to come to our Sunday, December 30th church service at 2 p.m. We are located at 1721 North 9th Street on the corner of 9th and Walker Avenue. Come and be blessed with the Word of God by Pastor John McIntosh. And if you have need of a winter coat, to receive a new coat from us with much love. The first 20 first-time visitors present, which includes 5 men, 5 women, 5 boys and 5 girls, will be given a coupon to receive their coat at the end of our service. We trust you will be blessed spiritually, materially, and consider becoming a new member of our growing church. If you have any questions regarding this special giveaway, please call us at 816-446-7615 or contact us by way of our website at kccfc.net. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Now let's complete our teaching entitled, Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week we finished part 3 of this teaching, which was Redemption Under the New Testament. And today I would like to summarize all 3 parts of this teaching before starting our new study next week. As I have stated each week, this teaching on redemption consists of 3 parts, and each part of this teaching is necessary to understand and appreciate Jesus' redemptive work and our better position in Him as sons of God. Therefore, if you have missed any of the weekly teachings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes now archived under the radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. I will begin by summarizing part 1 of our teaching entitled, God's Original Intent for Mankind. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 18 through 20. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. In summary, what our Heavenly Father intended from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden was to have children, not servants, who would walk in the dominion and authority that He gave us when He created the first man, Adam, and that Jesus ultimately purchased with His sinless life and precious blood. Luke 10, 18 through 20 say, "And He, Jesus, said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Again, once we were headed to eternal death because of one man's sin, that being Adam, now our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life, destined for eternal life based on one man, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 21 through 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22 say, "For since by man," referring to Adam, "came death, by man," referring to Jesus, "also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. The good news is that God's original intent, which was delayed by the sin of Adam, was bought back and deemed paid in full by the blood of the perfect Lamb, Jesus the Christ. Our dominion and power to keep all things under our feet are redeemed by Jesus, and the devil and his fallen angels are powerless. They cannot operate in our lives without our permission and cooperation. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 4 and 5. Again, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. They tell us that we have overcome Satan's evil system in this earth realm. Let's read. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, this world is referring to Satan's curse system. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Over and over again in the New Testament, we are called overcomers, victorious, more than conquerors. Well, that's a result of the work that Jesus completed. And so when we receive the gift of salvation, we are empowered over all that is demonic, and we have legal rights to stand against anything that is contrary to God's word. This is the legacy that Jesus provided for us. Jesus redeemed us with his sinless life and precious blood so that we may live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. 1 John 4:4, let's turn there. 1 John 4:4 tells us, "You are of God, little children, and overcome them." This is in reference to Satan and his demons, because he, referring to Jesus, who is in you, is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world. Wow, what a blessing. Family, we have much to be joyful for, much to celebrate this December as we recognize the birth of our Savior. So let's stay focused on the word that God has given us and his precious gift of salvation. Now, I would like to summarize part two of our teaching entitled Atonement Under the Old Testament. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 6 through 12. In summary, the Old Testament, also known as the Old Covenant, was a temporary solution based on man's works through obeying the law. Atonement was a temporary solution until the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, could be birthed into this earth realm to save all of mankind, not just Israel, from eternal separation from God and eternal death in hell. In other words, the Old Testament atonement was only a type of the Holy One, Jesus Christ the Messiah's arrival and work. Let's again read from Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 6 through 12. Verse 6. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, referring, of course, to the birth of our Savior Jesus, which the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshy ordinance imposed until the time of Reformation. Here are the two key verses. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, this leads us to the last part of our teaching, and I would like to summarize part 3 entitled Redeemed Under the New Testament. Now, keep in mind that the title of this entire teaching is Redeemed in Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed? Therefore, I want this summary to answer this question so clearly that you, the listener, will not have any doubt or confusion about the work Jesus completed for you through the gift of salvation. This is what it means to be redeemed in Jesus. Let's go to benefit number 1. We no longer need a mortal high priest, the Levites, to intercede on our behalf. Jesus gave each one of us, not just that select few, the authority and power to come boldly to the throne of grace to speak to our Heavenly Father directly. This is our first benefit that Jesus completed. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Let's continue with 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 say, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Amen. Notice, family, that as a result of the work that Jesus completed, they have identified the saints under the New Testament as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. That's who we are before the eyes of our Heavenly Father. And it is a direct result of what Jesus completed by his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus' authority affords the believer a greater anointing and personal relationship that was once only for the chosen Levites. We are no longer second-class citizens of the kingdom of God, but children with the same rights as that of Jesus. Once we receive the gift of salvation through Jesus, God only sees him in us, and therefore we have been declared sinless with the same authority, privileges, and sonship as that of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen and amen. This is what it means to be redeemed in Jesus. Benefit number 2. We have been delivered from the power and dominion of Satan and his darkness. Christians, we have the right to use the name of Jesus and transact on his behalf here in the earth realm. And the same power that Jesus used over Satan and his demonic forces is the same power we have to keep Satan out of our lives. We are free from the bondage of Satan if we choose to exercise our authority over him in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12 through 14 say, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Amen. The forgiveness of sins. Family, I've said it over and over throughout this teaching, but as a reminder, those sins past, present, and in the future are under the blood of Jesus. All we need to do is ask our Heavenly Father for forgiveness, repent, and move forward in His Word. But family, we need to be sincere about our actions. So do a self-examination. Check out those areas that are weak, and then find scripture and verse so that you can stop sinning and live out your life in the love of Jesus Christ. Always operating to do your best, working toward excellence in every area of our life. Amen. All right, let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, referring to Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. We don't have to be fearful, family. Jesus completed it all for us. And He loved us so much that He gave up His position in heaven so that He can come down here and complete the work that was required of the Old Testament saints for the New Testament saints. And that's the work that has given us that beautiful gift of salvation that is freely given by the grace of our Heavenly Father if we choose to, by faith, to receive the gift. Amen. All right. This is what it means to be redeemed in Jesus. Let's go to benefit number 3. Benefit number 3, we are joint heirs of the kingdom of God. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to receive our inheritance in Jesus. Our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy Jesus' blood-bought inheritance here on the earth realm. Redemption in Jesus covers every aspect of our lives. 3 John 2 says it like this: Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Wow. Jesus gave us a complete salvation package that would cover not just the spiritual part of our life, but our material part as well. And it includes everything that we need to live victorious in this earth realm. Let's read from Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is something to shout about, family. Whatever he does shall prosper. So, family, we can be successful in every area of our life, in our family life, in our job or profession, in our school, in our home, in our relationships. Whatever we set our mind to do, whatever the Lord is leading you to do, we can be successful because Jesus has given us the ability to do the work with excellence. The gift of salvation through Jesus' redemptive work provides us victory and prosperity in every area of our lives, including health, soundness of mind, the release from poverty, fear of death, and much more. Wow. It is good, good, good. And I know us Christians, we like to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can be victorious in every area of our life. This is what it means to be redeemed in Jesus. Benefit number 4. We have been redeemed from the old sinful nature and have been reconciled back to the Heavenly Father as a new creation. Family, we are a new creation in Jesus. All those things that we did in the past are in the past, are washed away. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let's read verses 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the recreated spirit, and you, referring to Christians, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the recreated spirit, and the recreated spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the recreated spirit, you are not under the law. Family, let us not allow our body or flesh to rule us. Rather, follow the admonitions of God's word and live victorious spirit, soul, and body. And I want to remind each Christian that we still have a free will, and even though Jesus has completed the work on our behalf, we can still choose to live in sin. But we don't have to. We can live in victory because of the work that Jesus completed. And when we are obedient to God's word, then those blessings and promises that are written in the New Testament for us New Testament saints will manifest in our lives. And we will be those shining examples, the light of the world. Amen. This is what it means to be redeemed in Jesus. Benefit number 5. Our eternal salvation is by grace and not of works. Jesus satisfied the law and provided once and for all eternal redemption. Salvation through Jesus is not of man's works that man should boast, but the gift of salvation is given to us by grace, the unmerited favor of God. Jesus loved us so much that he paid the cost so that we could be declared righteous and delivered from eternal condemnation. Christians did not earn righteousness. We received it through the gift of salvation in Jesus. As a result, in Jesus, we have right standing before God. All our sin is washed away with the blood of Jesus, and in him, we have eternal life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his, referring to Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, Jesus, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And if you've been with me from the very beginning of this teaching, I did give you a definition for that word reconciliation. But just as a reminder, someone or something that has been reconciled means it's been brought back to the original position. So somewhere along the line, a relationship was cut off. With regards to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, we know that in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it gives us a complete description of what took place. Adam, the first man, was given dominion and power over the earth realm, and he acted as mankind's representative. When he sinned against God by eating of that fruit, he cut off all of mankind from the Heavenly Father. And as a result of his sin act, all of mankind was put under the curse. Under the curse of the law meant that physical death was going to take place. But even more importantly, spiritual death was the cause of our separation. And we know that because when Adam ate of that fruit, he did not die physically, but he immediately was separated from his spiritual relationship with the Heavenly Father. But as a result of Jesus' work, praise the name of Jesus, he reconciled us back with the family of our Heavenly Father. And that is one awesome thing, to have that kind of peace, that kind of comfort, that kind of guidance where we can live out our lives in this earth realm with victory, knowing that when we leave this earth realm, we'll be in the presence of our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Family, this concludes my teaching entitled Redeemed in Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed? I know that this study is not all inclusive, but I trust that as each of us continue to study and apply these five benefits, we will live those victorious lives in Jesus that God intended for his children since the creation of man. In closing, I'd like to read from Hebrews 13, verses 20, 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.